this week on Under the Air features acoustic bluegrass band New Blue with its founders Daniel and Carolyn Ruth discussing their new album, Where You've Been. Next, we have acrylic artist and art educator Gretchen Scott, whose work was recently exhibited at Lower Lincoln. Our spotlight's on LaPorte County Symphony's Animal Kingdom concert with executive director Emily Giannis.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. I'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight from the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra, Emily Giannis, the executive director, and she's going to bring us up to date on what's going on there. We had her on last to talk about the holiday concert, and we're going to investigate that too, but talk about the next concert, which is really interesting, and go into that and maybe a few other things going on. Emily, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's always great seeing you.
Tell us about the holiday concert. I was fortunate enough that you got had tickets for me there, and I went and enjoyed it so much. But, you know, just kind of give us a repeat on what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It was just such a great program. Such a varied musical style, something for everyone. I think one of the favorites was Tim King soloing on the typewriter, a piece that features a solo typewriter, if you can believe it. And people really, really enjoyed that one. The comedy was just fabulous. And then we also had a bassoon trio, Bassoon It Will Be Christmas, which mixed traditional bassoon excerpts from classical pieces in with familiar holiday tunes. And so I think people really enjoyed that too. But what I got the most feedback on was the Duke Ellington Nutcracker.
Oh,
everybody
yes.
just really loved the jazz Nutcracker. And I think that one won out as the favorite of the evening. But it was just a wonderful evening of holiday merriment and putting everybody in the Christmas spirit.
How many people did you have in attendance? It looked like there weren't too many
empty
seats.
Yeah. We had close to 1,000. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a really good turnout this year. Balcony was almost full. I should add that we also had the LaPorte High School and Michigan City High School choirs join the symphony for a couple of pieces, which was really fun and such a treat. Those two groups hadn't worked together in a long time, and we were happy to bring them together again on the stage.
Excellent. Well, tell us about our upcoming concert. It's something a little bit different and at a venue that's not your standard venue, the Civic Auditorium. So give us a little details about the upcoming.
Sure. Yeah. So we are going to return to LaPorte High School. We were last at LaPorte High School in February of 2023 for a side-by-side concert. This one is going to be a little different. It's going to be a family-friendly concert centered around animals. So it's entitled Animal Kingdom. And we're really wanting to cultivate a family-friendly atmosphere. So no kind of stiff, be silent, sit in your seats, quiet kind of expectations, but rather you can get up and down and move around a little bit. And it's fun for the whole family. So they'll be playing Carnival of the Animals, Peter and the Wolf, and the U.S. premiere of an Australian piece that Carolyn Watson has brought to us called Dangerous Creatures by an Australian composer by the name of Matthew Hinson. And so we're really excited to bring that to the States. It was premiered in London in 2009, and it's all about the dangerous creatures of Australia. And so I'm really excited for audiences to get to hear that one.
It's such a thrilling program, and I love that it's family-focused, because using our imaginations in like combination with that orchestral interpretation is such a moving experience. And you know that it's just going to be amazing for these children to,
I think so too.
To experience.
Yeah.
So congratulations on focusing on that.
Thank you. Yeah.
And there's a petting zoo and an instrument petting zoo.
That's right. Yes. So we're also excited to partner with Michiana Humane Society, Humane Indiana, and Quinlan and Fabish. They're going to do the, Quinlan and Fabish will do the instruments, and Humane Indiana and Michiana Humane Society will bring some animals. So I just heard yesterday that Humane Indiana is bringing an owl, a raccoon, and a possum. So we'll get to see some
and cuddle some a cello wildlife. And cuddle a possum.
So that's going to be a real treat, I think, for everyone there to get to actually have some real animals to interact with, in addition to hearing the instruments kind of depict the sounds of the animals too.
That sure is. Now, your next concert, and of course we'll have another full feature on that, I think, is with the Sounds of Spring on March 9th. Maybe just
that's
touch
right.
on that briefly.
Sure, yeah. The highlight of that program is a piece by the Danish composer Kjell Røyker, I think I'm saying that correctly, and Jared Koller, our percussionist and education and community outreach manager, is going to be premiering this piece, which is a xylophone concerto. And it's a very virtuosic xylophone concerto. Jared has been practicing. He says that it's one of the most difficult concertos that he's ever learned. And so I think that's going to be a real treat for audiences. Then we'll also pay homage to spring with some with the Spring Symphony, Schumann's First Symphony, and a Lili Boulanger of A Spring Morning, and Mendelssohn Overture to the Hebrides. So it's going to be a really
beautiful,
nice classical concert with that exciting gem of a premiere in there as well.
Any other activities outside of concerts going on coming up soon?
Let me think. I know we have a Friends of the Symphony luncheon coming up in March. I do not have the exact date off the top of my head, but information on that can be found on our website, lcso.net.
Well, in our last minute here, tell us, maybe remind everyone how they can find tickets, where you're at, times, dates, and you know, also your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Animal Kingdom concert is Saturday, February 8th, 4 p.m. Doors open at 3 p.m. Central Time at LaPorte High School Performing Arts Center. And tickets can be found online. They're $25 for adults, $22 for seniors 60 and over, and for children, free, and students with ID, free. So really affordable for the whole family. Bring the kids, bring the whole family, and just have a really nice Saturday of animal exploration, classical music, and lots of fun.
Well, I appreciate you coming on Art of the Air Spotlight. Emmy Giannis, The Animal Kingdom, February 8th, 4 p.m., LaPorte High School Performing Arts Center. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing that.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Esther. Great to see you guys.
You. So exciting.
Art of the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art in the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
Hey, this is Bela Fleck, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
There's a willow by the lakeshore, where a soft breeze always blows. There's no marker, there's no gravestone, just a secret nobody knows. He didn't care, she wasn't willing.
We are happy to welcome Carolyn and Daniel Ruth to Art on the Air. Daniel and Carolyn are the dynamic duo, part of the award-winning band New Blue, which also includes Justin Harrison and Austin Heffelfinger. The quartet has a warm Appalachian sound. They got their start in 2003. It has been an epic journey of perseverance after many full-spectrum occurrences, which is evident in their music and the good fortune that has followed. We will be listening to music from their newest album, Where You've Been. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Carolyn and Daniel. It's really wonderful talking to you.
Hi, it's great to be on today.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
Well, we're so glad to have you part of that. And I know, Daniel, you contacted me, I think, over a year ago about coming on, or I don't know how we connected or everything like that. And he said, well, just wait, we're going to have a new album coming out. And so then we reconnected. So it was great to hear that. Well, like on Art in the Air, what we'd like to do is hear your origin story. And I'm going to start with Carolyn. How you got from where you were to where you are now, and how that maybe intersected with Daniel. We don't take away his thunder either. But you know, tell us about yourself, Carolyn.
Well, I've been through quite a diverse musical journey. I started out as a kid here in the South, singing in church and doing all kinds of little kids programs and on into the adult and youth, or into the youth stuff. And I really love singing. It struck me early. On through elementary school, doing as much singing, little choirs and all as I could. And I got to high school and had the opportunity to do some theater work, which added a lot to the style of music that I really loved, and that style integrating in now into what I do. We go on through rock and we go through country, and we finally ended up with contemporary Christian. And from that, it was New Blue and bluegrass all the way. And even now, our bluegrass sound is what people would consider as more contemporary, because Daniel and I both have so much influence, not only from traditional bluegrass, but from rock and pop and country and just everything all combined into one and rolled up that have brought us to where we are today.
So is there a lot of family singing? Because generally singers come from families of singers.
Not on my side. My dad used to say that he was really good at playing the radio, and that was about it. He tried to learn to play guitar. Bless his heart, he knew every chord on the neck, and he couldn't keep time to save his life. So just never worked out for him. And my mom's never been musical. So I guess it just skipped along down to me.
Yeah, that's very wonderful, good. Though.
Well, I will switch over to Daniel, and then maybe we can get the how you got came together story. So, Daniel, tell us about your origin story.
Well, kind of like Carolyn, I've always been surrounded by music. My mom and dad always made sure that there was some kind of musical instrument around the house. I think at different points in time, there was a little electric guitar laying around. At one point, there was a mandolin. But kind of, my mom sang some. Me and my sister both kind of got the musical talent. I think it skipped a generation because my grandmother played piano and my grandfather played mandolin.
Ah.
And so, you know, I think it's in the genes and it's in there somewhere. But when I got to be in kind of late teens, like 15, 16, I'd already expressed a little interest in the guitar. And I was working at a family's barbecue restaurant. My cousins had a barbecue restaurant, and I was hired one summer to cook the barbecue. So I would set out back and fire a barbecue in a barbecue pit and learn guitar chords in between. And then my junior year of high school, for Christmas that year, I got a banjo. And, you know, once you get a banjo, it's all downhill. it's over. You know, you can kiss all your free time goodbye. And I found out that my grandfather died when he was real young, but a lot of the guys that he used to jam with and play with, they still got together every Friday night. So I chose my senior year of high school to give up playing basketball and some sports. Instead, I would spend those Friday evenings with the guys that my grandpa used to pick with and learned directly from them. And it just grew from there. And, you know, The love of bluegrass music has been there since I first heard it. You know, grew up singing in church, like I said, around music, singing some. I remember when I was little, the Chuck Wagon Gang, every 4th of July, they would always come to a church near us. And everybody in the community would go over there on the front steps of this big church, and the Chuck Wagon Gang would sing. And I remember harmony. That's where I first knew what harmony singing was from the Chuck Wagon Gang. And so just influences everywhere in my life, you know, church, that kind of stuff. You know, the guys from my grandfather, just, I always had musical influences around. And I always remember my dad saying, you know, sports are great. He said, but, you know, one day you're going to get older and you're not going to be able to play those sports. He said, but you'll probably still be able to play an instrument. And I have reached that moment in my life. Dad was right.
And so now we wonder how you two met.
Well, the first time that we actually saw each other was at Walmart.
A
very,
child.
Very brief encounter. Yeah, very brief encounter, but that just shows you, you can find anything at Walmart.
So were you in checkout line or what?
No, Daniel was a grocery manager over there. And we actually sort of met in passing. He had a band then, a bluegrass band, and another friend of mine had played a show with them and told me about this guy and that he worked at Walmart, and he kind of looked like, they called him Opie. Because they said he looked like Opie Taylor because he had red hair for the Andy Griffith Show. And so I'm in Walmart, and this guy walks by, and I thought, well, you know, that looks like the guy they described. And after he walked by, I said, hey, Opie, and he turned around. like I say, it was very brief. It was just like a, hey, I'm such and such, blah, blah, and we just sort of parted ways. And after that, my family owns a restaurant. We've been there for 78 years. And Daniel came in one day on his lunch break from work and ate. And that's when I actually got to chat with him a few minutes when he was at the register. And told him I was looking for a bass player for a contemporary Christian band. And he said, well, I don't know how to play bass, but I'll learn. And he did. And when, yeah. And we went from contemporary Christian through a little bit of a Christian rock phase and on into rock and roll, and decided pretty quick that rock and roll was not what we wanted to do as a lifelong career, even though we loved the music. It was just sort of a brutal scene to get into. And I suggested starting a bluegrass band because that's where he was playing when we first met. And of course, when you live in Central North Carolina, there's bluegrass everywhere. You can't get away from it. So I had grown up within the bluegrass culture, even though I wasn't a fan of bluegrass at the time. And after a while, it took me about, what, Daniel, about a month?
Yeah, so she started all the stuff with starting a bluegrass band and all this stuff. And I was like, she cannot be serious, you know, because that's just not her normal thing that she would gravitate toward. And she's like, no, she's like, I think we can do it, and we can do something, you know, do all original material and do our own stuff. And I think we can have something with it. And I was like, she's not serious. I was like, I'm just gonna let her talk about this for a couple of weeks. And after about a month, she was still going on and on about it and had the name picked out. And I was like, well, I reckon she is serious about doing this, so maybe I better put a little effort into it.
Aww.
Well, what we want to know about is how New Blue actually formed, and that's what, your 20th anniversary. So you talked a little bit about going to it, but now you've been doing this for, well, over 20 years. Tell us about the evolution. You've already released a whole set of albums, and then, of course, we're going to listen to a song from your next album, and we'll kind of follow that evolution.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how the whole, like I said, that's how the whole band got started, and, you know, we decided to start it. But from day one with New Blue, Carol and I both were at a point in our lives where we both knew that we wanted to be full-time musicians. I think a lot of people have that dream and want to do it, and maybe there's lots of paths to that. But for us, that was the goal from day one, was to do that. And so we set about, from the very beginning, making that our goal, making it so New Blue, we could go out, we would be, you know, full-time touring artists, making our living, doing music, and doing our own music, doing original music. And so that's how it all got started. And it's just grown from there. And, you know, with every band, I think every band that starts, you know, your first album, you're kind of figuring it all out. you know, you're going, what's our sound? You know, you go to all these seminars and you talk to people and you try to figure all this out and you go, well, you know, what we've learned is, you know, the easiest way to do that is find or write really great original music and then record that music and stay true to, you know, don't look at what other bands are doing. Look at what you want to do. Focus on what you want to do and focus on what is an emotional thing for you. You know, we don't record a song unless we have an emotional attachment to it in one way, shape, or form. And that's just kind of become our thing whenever we're picking out music. And that's what has helped us form what is a sound that is distinctly New Blue. And it took that first album and getting through that, you know, I go back and I listen and I listen to it and I can go, gosh, we were really searching on that album to find what fit us. But by the time the second album rolled around, things had came together and we were a little more comfortable in our own skin and more comfortable with our choices and more comfortable in the industry. And so by the time the second album rolled around, we had started to develop a sound that is now distinctly New Blue. I mean, we have DJs and fans everywhere. They say, well, you know, as soon as a song comes on, we can tell it's a New Blue song. And I'm like, that's the goal. And that's what we wanted to do. So at least we've achieved that part of the goal anyway.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you chose that name because that was that search. You know, what does New Blue actually mean to us? And you just described it so beautifully. And so I did want to ask about where you've been. But before that, I want to ask, how did the rest of the band come into your universe?
Well, this band, these guys are probably about the third iteration on different instruments. You know, we had the group that we started with, and those guys played with us for quite some time and just sort of got tired of touring. And so we went our separate ways and they did some other things, and we're all still great friends now. But Dustin has been the mandolin player. Justin's been playing us for what now, Daniel? 7, 8 years?
7 years, going on 8 years.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's been with us for a while.
I found him on Facebook. we were needing a mandolin player, and I was just perusing Facebook one day, and this guy was there, and he said he was moving back to North Carolina from Kentucky, and where he was going to be moving to, and that he was looking for a bluegrass band to play. And he actually attended Morehead State University, and he has a bachelor's degree in traditional music studies. So he's the only one in the band that has a diploma to play bluegrass. he is such an awesome mandolin player. He's one of the best mandolin players on the scene right now, and I'm not just saying that because he's ours, but I'm going to tell you what, he absolutely is one of the best pickers out there, and we're so blessed to have him. Great guy, I love traveling with him. And Austin, the banjo player, he started with us when he was 14, and we met him at a festival up in Ohio when we were looking for a new banjo player, and he asked Daniel some questions about guitar, wanted him to show him some things on guitar, and he had a banjo sitting beside him, and he said, well, banjo's really my primary instrument, but I'm trying to learn some stuff and get better at guitar. And Daniel said, well, pull it out of the case and pick one with us. You know, we're just humoring the kid. And he pulled the banjo out of the case, and he just blew us away.
Wow.
So from there, Daniel went and talked to his parents, and joined the band.
That's an amazing story.
And so now he grew up with us.
I'm hoping for another amazing story.
Well, we wanted to have a chance to listen to your song, your title track, Where Have You Been? So why don't we take a quick listen to that, and we'll come back for just a few moments and talk to you. This is Where Have You Been, new album from New Blue.
They say the eyes are the window to your soul. Some kind of magic mirror, but I don't know. Your eyes can lie and leave you blind. If you want to know the truth about a man, just look at his boots. 'Cause who you are is where you've been. The love you gave it's the road you've run, the mountains that you've climbed, the I do's, I don'ts, the hellos and goodbyes. There are thumbtacks on a map, and as you're passing through, you think you're making tracks, but they're making you. 'Cause who you are is where you've been. The love you gave, the love you spent, the times you prayed, the times you sinned. Who you are is where you've been. When you're born, your mom and dad will teach you how to stand. Roots can raise a boy, but it's the miles that make a man. 'Cause who you are is where you've been. The love you gave, the love you spent, the times you prayed, the times you sinned. Who you are is where you've been. The love you gave, the love you spent, the times you prayed, the times you sinned. Who you are is where you've been. Who you are is where you've been.
And that's New Blue's new album, Where Have You Been, the title track from the same album of the same name. So,
is there a story about where you've been?
So the whole album, really, you know, it being kind of the 20th anniversary album, you know, you kind of start to, as you get older in life, and you kind of start to take a look back and go, well, you know, you look back at where you've been and the choices you've made, and you kind of start to look at it and go, oh, well, you know, sometimes we look at it and go, you know, if I would have chose something different there, maybe that would have come out better. But then sometimes you look back and go, oh, well, I'm, you know, I don't regret any of the choices I've made. So that's kind of the whole envelope for this whole album. You know, it's all about where you've been. Every song is about a moment in life. We try to carefully construct all of our albums with a theme and with the listening experience as you go from front to back. And that's kind of what the album does, is it takes you from the first song, Horse Thieves and Moonshiners, which is kind of like your ancestry, and takes you on a journey through life. And every song is a moment or a choice that somebody could potentially have to make in life. And those choices, you know, they give us our everybody's story. They give us our life's twists and turns.
That's true.
You know, and they're the ones that you don't think about. It's always, you know, rarely is the choice of what car you buy the choice that really matters in life.
Well, you know, Daniel, we're almost out of time. Daniel and Carolyn, briefly, very briefly, tell us about where people can find you online. And we're going to finish out. We're going to play out with The Will that you did with Sharon White and Ricky Skaggs. But tell us how people can find you online, Facebook, such as that.
You can find us online at newblue.com. That's NU-BLU.com. And we're all over all of the social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You just search New Blue, NU-BLU, and you'll find us out there. Real easy to find, and love hearing from folks. So we hope folks will reach out.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. That's Daniel and Carolyn Ruth of New Blue. And we appreciate that you've shared your music and musical journey with us. And we're going to finish out our show with The Will. So please take a listen to it as soon as it. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I wish we had more time. I have so much more I want to talk to you about.
He'd been a farmer all of his life, working in that Carolina soil. He was a good man. 2 years ago he lost his wife. He died without a penny for all his toil. The family gathered round to read the will, knowing there was no big mansion on a hill. It read, although my possessions were few, I have some things that I would like to leave to you. To my son, I leave my name, the pride and the honor from which it came, my medals from the Vietnam War, rose petals your mother wore the day she took my hand and took our name. Son, promise me you'll never go astray, and I will not have lived my life in vain. To my daughter, here's a sealed envelope. There's nothing in it but all my love and hope that you'll find a man who loves you as much as me, give you everything in life you'll ever need, just like you did for me. And to my friends, I give thanks for the laughter, the good times, and all those silly pranks. To the Lord above, I give my praise. I thank him for the gentle rain that saved our crops time and time again. Thank him for forgiveness of my sins and taking me home to see my wife again. And right below where the will was signed, it read, me and Mama will see you on the other side.
And that was The Will from New Blue's brand new album, Where You've Been. Art in the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
This is Carmen Vincent, filmmaker and executive director of Project Neighbors, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
We are pleased to welcome Gretchen Scott to Art on the Air. Gretchen is an artist and an educator who over the last few years has delved back into acrylic painting. Recently, she was chosen for the Art and Innovation Show in downtown Valparaiso, Indiana. She focused on a nature theme. She is drawn to pattern and bold colors. Her influences have been Henri Matisse, Japanese prints, and Aboriginal dot paintings, which are all evident in her work. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Gretchen. It's very nice meeting you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Gretchen, we always like to know our guest's origin story. And I teed up by saying how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Gretchen.
Okay. I grew up in a small town in Indiana, in Seymour, Indiana, in my younger years. And my dad was a industrial arts teacher, so I was really familiar with him always drawing and building. I really did not have my eye on the arts per se as a young person, but my mother also always took us to things that were of the finer art realm to expose us to museums and music and different things of that sort. So I think that kind of well-roundedness gave me an inclination that way before I even knew about that. But mostly I just grew up being out in nature. My family took us canoeing. It was a rural area where I could kind of roam freely in the creeks and woods. And I think that really made an impression on me later in life. When I got into college, I switched majors a few times and ended up in graphic design. And at the time, in good old around 1996, that was sort of advertised as something that was very, very highly competitive. You needed to move to like a big city. And as I moved farther along, I didn't feel I fit that as well. But I carried a little bit of that with me. And I think because my dad was an educator and I had been involved in coaching, I was starting to try to kind of think about how could I impact the world. And I thought that, you know, through young people would be a way I could also do that. So it kind of came together in the realm of art education. And that led me down the path of a lot of creating on my own.
Yeah, it's such a satisfying thing because you are, once you're an art educator, you are making art a lot, not necessarily for you, though. It's a whole different thing. That's why it was really great to read that, you know, you're full force over the last few years working on your own personal work.
I mean, you study so many artists, and it's so incredibly interesting how art ties into so many areas of life. And you almost can't help but get drawn in to wanting to create on your own.
I liked in your biography about splashing around and things like that. And so how that has informed your work in some degree, maybe not consciously, but, you know, that early outdoorsiness, you know, going out and fishing and everything like that. So that probably has influenced your work and everything like that. So you went to Indiana State University. Now you're teaching. So was teaching kind of like, well, you know, I think I can do better influencing kids that way. And then how did you get kind of migrate back to starting to produce your own art?
Well, let's see. From teaching to creating my own art, really, even through college, going through the classes for art education, I was creating myself. I was involved in a couple of shows there at Indiana State. And there was a little bit of that along the side. But as you know, when you're starting out early married, young children, it doesn't afford a lot of time. But really, even just for therapeutic purposes or just that centering purpose, art was always there. Even just in my own time through sketching and painting very short, you know, casual works. But really, I started to be interested in how could I do this to benefit others. So at first, my art was really catered to what people needed. And I married it to a photographer. And so I found that his clients loved these hand-drawn pen and ink painting drawings where they could do thumbprints for the guest book, and it could be this work of art to hang. I found that people loved having a sketch of a home when they sold it. And so then they had that as a memory. Just all different purposes, people started to call on me and say, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And it kind of morphed into doing some murals. One at a local inn, Songbird Prairie, bed and breakfast here in town. And really, she kind of believed in me more than I believed in myself, what I could create in her inn. She had me paint many, many ceilings in different sky type themes. And she had me painting before I even had any experience doing anything like that. And I think that I never stopped after that point, really, once I saw, hey, I can do this. This has drawn something bigger out of me. It led me not only to want to fulfill clients' wishes per se, but also, hey, what could I express? And that's kind of what the last 2 years have been about, is what do I have to express now that I've spent my time and I see that I have some skills that I can develop? What do I have to put out into the world that's unique? It's not a copy of someone else's work for a client or, you know, an idea that someone had. It's something of my own. So that's kind of where I've been more in the last year or two, is doing things more coming from my own compositions, my own a personal style that I'm trying to develop. I'm certainly still at the beginning of that, but I'm really happy to still be exploring a similar theme to what I used for the Art and Innovation show, where there's a lot of flat spaces, but they use bold color and texture marks over top, staying within different themes of nature that are really meaningful to me, meaningful to others, it seems. So I'm just having a lot of fun exploring that more.
One of the operative words is that you used is bigger, because those murals are gigantic, and mm-hmm. and your work concept, like even the work behind you, is it looks massive, and not very many people work that large. So is that mostly you have large works, or do you also scale it down to a smaller?
Now I'm working mainly on canvas. They aren't as large. 2 feet by 3 feet is about the size that I've been working at presently. The murals, I loved the outcome. I will say they were a little tough physically. And I kind of prefer working on canvas. Not only can someone take it with you when they go, once they've purchased a painting, it kind of lasts forever, instead of the risk that maybe it would be painted over or disappear one day. So I'm kind of enjoying working a bit smaller at the moment.
So where do you find your inspiration now? I mean, obviously some of it was from nature, but you've kind of expanded your thoughts and your processes. So tell us a little bit about that.
I'm a person of faith, and so I usually take time to pray before I start working again. Once I've been back in school this semester, I'm starting to dive back into painting again now that we're started up and rolling. And I like to always put that first, because that's my first priority during the school year time. But as I get that rolling, then I have some time to work. And so I just take time to just really pray and ask God to help me use my skills to create something that will touch someone, and to help me use my creativity in a way that will benefit someone else, and that I'll really enjoy in the process, that I could learn something from creation around me, because there's infinite amounts of things you can learn from different aspects of creation. And I kind of start there, and then I move into just sort of researching. I look up different animals. I look up new places. Sometimes I travel to new places and try to get a sense of something that really sparks my, both the imagery, sometimes also the meaning, sometimes the idea. It's idea-based, meaning, oh, I like the concept of this, you know, positive-negative space. What can I do with that? Okay, well, do I want to take this into the realm of, you know, botanicals, or do I want to take this into the realm of a creature? Where do I want to go with that topic? And so that's kind of where I've been starting. I love the beginning of planning things out and brainstorming. I find that the middle is a little bit tougher, and then the execution is usually pretty fun once I get the middle parts kind of tweaked, because I am a kind of a planner. So I'm definitely not a haphazard, just kind of start throwing things down. I get a plan together of layering, basically, is what it is for me.
So with your large family, it's almost like a classroom. do you do work together? Are the children, do they love art? Do you work together ever?
That's a good question. My children, we came together, the first batch of children kind of came together halfway through. So some are very creative and other are very appreciative of creative things in the arts, but not so much that they personally do them all, sure. All of them. But I would say, you know, at least 3/4 of our family is very in tune with creative things, whether it be cinema, whether it be like my husband with photography,
any writers,
children. Oh yes. Writers, musicians as well, though not for me. So as far as making art together, we have not delved into that yet, other than my youngest, who we do like to try to write books together once in a while. So she is someone who can illustrate right out of her head. And I am very much someone who has to combine imagery that I can find in sources. So she can draw the imagery right out of her mind, and then I can write the story. And so we've done that just a little bit, but
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
What a great creative process to do together and everything. Is there you're mostly working in acrylics in the style now, but is there something you are, I really want to try oil, or I want to try this, or break out on a different subject matter, because you've kind of established the things that you're doing now, but is there something I really want to do? What is that?
I would really love to delve more into printmaking. Perhaps if once I have a little bit more studio space, I would love to definitely explore. I kind of use a layering process anyway, so mm-hmm. I would really like to kind of explore that more through the printmaking process, whether it be linoleum block or screen printing, something of that nature.
Yeah, your work lends itself it's very complementary to what you're doing.
Thank you.
So how did you come in touch with the Valpo Creative Council and become one of the featured artists, which I did see the exhibit there, because I did that not quite a part of this year myself, but how did you connect with like Jessica and the group VCC?
Well, I knew about the exhibit mainly because I've known Jessica a while. We've worked together quite a bit in the past. And so I had filled out, they have a survey that you can fill out to be considered for various things. And so I knew I was really, I had only sold really, you know, a handful of paintings in the year before, but I just kind of thought, I'll just throw out my images and see if anybody takes the bait. And I was just really grateful that they gave me an opportunity to really, it pushed me to come up with enough works for the show. And it led me to a lot of people who I found were really interested in what I was doing. And that was like super encouraging. Sometimes I think I would have made art anyway, even if there wasn't those people out there, just because it's almost like something you have to do. But just to know there were people out there when I would throw a painting up and they would, you know, on my social media and to have so many people respond to it, I don't know. It was very encouraging to keep going and keep pursuing it.
So let's talk about your teaching days. You know, what a day is in your life as an art teacher, you know, how it's structured. And, you know, sometimes, and I know Esther's talked about this before, how early in her that she didn't, I didn't think, have art classes. And I don't think, now I'm trying to look back at my, days in elementary, and I don't think there were art classes. I think we had music, but we didn't have art. So, but tell us about your day as a teacher.
Well, I work in a district that's very supportive of the arts in general, and our students get an hour a week of art as well as other what we call special classes. And I teach elementary, so I see a very wide range of age and skill, and being kindergarteners all the way through fifth grade. And I absolutely love that I can take someone with just limited opportunities so far, all the way to students who I've taken through, I've known them since they were kindergartners, and sort of helped them spiral through different skills to when they leave. So I feel I have a special role because I don't just get students for 1 year. I get students for 5 years, and I get to see their growth. I get to introduce them to a world of art that some of them don't get a chance to be exposed to outside of school. So I take it as a very important role. My daily structure really is, I have, 24, 25 sections a week. So I have over 500 students that I see. It's pretty constant with the material preparation and all of those things. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, but I wouldn't want to be in any other classroom. Mm-hmm.
Well, especially with the kindergarten, first, and even second grade, it's kind of like gather my chicks unto me and everything like that. Of course, when they start getting up toward the fifth grade, it becomes a little different time. So having to deal across all those different grades, it can be very, very challenging. So any thoughts of like staying in that teaching, that level? Or would you like to teach like at a middle school or high school level? Or is that a different kind of challenge?
I originally thought that I was going to teach high school. And to make a long story short, it took me a while to get the confidence. I was almost too much the same age when I first got out of college to teach high school. And I have loved elementary to the nth degree, honestly. I did try middle school for 1 year. I endured it. We'll just say that much. I am so glad there are people that are made to teach middle school, because I don't think it's me. But that's very important and necessary. And I think I'm staying right where I'm at for a long, long time, because there's an innocence in the creativity at my level. And I love seeing that joy in the kids.
There's a humorous thing about, they say middle schoolers should be sent out to labor, you know, build roads and do things in the community. And they come back their freshman year in high school, because it's such an interesting. And yet they can be a very
Everyone has to go through it. It's a little wonky, though.
I was the director at the high school, but my wife, and she wasn't a teacher there, but she directed the middle school program, and they linked up. Now, those kids kind of wanted to be there, so it's different than a classroom. But yeah, I know middle school is a real challenge. God love those people that like to do that. It takes a special person.
There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful kids there. It's just an interesting time of life for them, I think.
It is. Very challenging.
So, Gretchen, when you approach your canvas, have you already drawn out what you're going to do? So when you, do you already know?
I do. I usually have done many sketches on paper, and I use an iPad pretty regularly. I use Procreate in an iPad, where I'll take a sketch. I'll even take the first layer of the painting and I'll take a picture, and then on my iPad, I'll work up how different color schemes work with that base kind of painting. So I can kind of see where I want to take it before I spoil the painting, so to speak. I don't quite trust myself to intuitively just choose. I kind of want to see my options, and I want to pick the right option for the mood and what I want it to be in the end. So I really like playing around with it on a technical level before I add more layers to it as I go.
And learning on the road, are you looking for exhibit opportunities or also commissions, or, you know, are you kind of pursuing that, you know, because you're not, I kind of newer back into creating art, but now you're feeling confident. Are you looking for those types of opportunities?
I'm always looking for an opportunity to exhibit again. That was a really great experience. I do need some time to get some more work together. I've sold a lot of the work that was up, and I'm very grateful to say that. I have a few people who have asked for some commissions, so I have a bit of a line now that I'm working a full-time job. So I'll work steadily through those people who have kind of asked so far, and then as I get into summer, I'll pick it up into creating a bit more time on my hands, being that I'll be off in the summertime. So it kind of has to go with my flow of life. I'm not really looking to replace my regular job, because I really love it. But it's wonderful that I have a job that I can spend 3 months in the summer giving to this area that means so much to me as well. So
you're aware of like some of the places that you can be member and exhibit, like Chesterton Art Center, which is local. You can just be a member, and they just had their members show. So that's an easy one. But some of the other artist organizations.
Area Artists Association, associated with the Lubesnik Center.
Yeah. I'm involved with both of those.
I just tied in the Lubesnik Center this week in my room. They do a wonderful, they have a whole presentation for teachers that I was able to show my kids without even taking my kids to the Lubesnik. So it was, that's a great asset as well. But I'm really just learning about all the places. I mean, I'm aware of those in Valparaiso. I'm not as aware in the other areas. So I definitely need to get my list together and get on the ball.
Right. Because sometimes you have to, especially with the arts, well, it's almost any creative thing. You really have to be out there advocating for yourself and pushing yourself out. Now, do you have a website yet, or have you developed that? Or
I mainly work through social media. If you look up the handle art2glorify, Facebook and Instagram, that's where you could contact me. That's where anyone could contact me about art.
Especially if they wanted like a commission and seeing your work and doing things like that. Well,
absolutely.
Any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience about your work or about your art journey?
I'm really encouraged by people like you who are doing this and making known. Just I've looked up your show and listened to some, and just the caliber of people that you have on to share with the world. This is just awesome that you guys take your time to do this. And I just appreciate you including me. You know, whatever comes, I'm excited for it. And I'll just keep working along.
Well, we appreciate that and appreciate you being on the show. You. It was a pleasure to meet you at the VCC exhibit when they had that. It was wonderful. Gretchen Scott, artist, acrylic artist, and also teacher, art teacher. And she gave you your websites and things like that. You can find her online at Instagram and some of the other things. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your art journey with our audience.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's really a pleasure meeting you.
Coming next week on Art in the Air features country music singer and songwriter Jessica Lynn sharing her new album, All I Own. Next, we feature Emmy Award-winning filmmaker Carmen Vincent, plus her new role as executive director for Project Neighbors. Our spotlight's on the return of the Tomfoolery Fun Club to Michigan City's Oryx Shrine on February 15th for a special Valentine's Day show with Tom Bilek and Miss Michelle. We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art in the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at AOTA@breck.com. That's AOTA@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.